We'll share where this is all coming from. Last week we had shared on Ephesians 5:15-21 or something like that, and it talked about wisdom and things, and wisdom is good, and to get that wisdom, it talks about, Paul shared in regards to the Holy Spirit and being filled up and being continually filled and to be and having wisdom, and there's some things that we shared into that area. But as we come out of that, and that was kind of like, I didn't know if that was the end of the year message, the beginning of the year message, or whatever. It was just, I guess, it was just a message. Nothing wrong with wisdom, is there? It kind of gets us thinking even more into some areas of God, I hope. So today I beginning to look at this, and this past week it came to me, and I'm not going to say this is our thing of the year, you know, like our saying and our verse for the year and what are the focus of what the year is about, but I do want to say surviving is good, but thriving is better. And out on our sign, you might have seen surviving and thriving in 2019. And we're going to kind of look at those survive and thrive and kind of break down those words a little bit. Because when you look at them, they're both good words, aren't they? To survive is a good thing. To thrive, it's a good thing. So this message is for our spiritual walk. When I'm talking about survival, surviving, and thriving, it's the spiritual walk that we have with God, and it's to encourage us, I hope, and to get us thinking of this new year that we are in. 2019 is just, what, 6 days in. This is the first Sunday of the year. All the holidays are behind us, and probably most of us, as we sit here today, said, I survived. How many here survived the holidays? I survived the holidays. I'm glad they only come once a year, you know, type of a thing. Because usually a lot gets put on your plate. A lot of things have to be accomplished, or a lot of things get added to, whatever, and it gets to be a very busy time of the year. So we can say, well, I survived Christmas and New Year's. A message that I listened to this past week had a little bit of a, it was like a one-minute shot in the arm type thing that I get on a daily basis. And it talked about, the message says, as I listened to it, it was like a word that came out of it, and it was regarding surviving. And this gentleman was sharing about, you know, it's New Year, and we're survivors, and we've survived that year. And he talked a little bit about that after that. It was mentioned that there's more to the things of a year, there's more to things in your life than just surviving. Don't you think about that? We want to survive, but there's really more to that. There's more that we could add into that. So, anyway, I heard that. So when we look at the definition of survive, and, you know, when he said that, I began to think, and the first thing that came to my mind when he said that, I guess my mind, my spirit, whatever. And it wasn't like I was out there like, oh, come on, Lord, give me a word, you know. We had the pastor's thing on Wednesday, and some of them, and actually the prayer was, just wait on God, and God will take care of things for you. Don't get in a hurry. Keep in step with God. And it was out of Psalms. I can't remember which one it was. But anyway, and it came out of that, and the pastors that were there, many of them said, you know, I really don't have anything at this point as far as a focus for this year, or, you know, and I think sometimes we get so gung-ho on trying to get that vision for the year that, you know, we want to conjure up something because people are looking at the pastor thinking like, what is it this year that we're going to be doing? And he says, you know, I haven't really come across anything. And then, of course, when that particular psalm was read prior to our time of corporate prayer as pastors, it was one of those things that most of them said, you know, we just need to be close to God, and God will take care of these things. And then the next day I'm listening to this, I think it was Thursday then, But anyway, it hit my spirit when this guy said that we've survived. You've survived 2018, and today it's we're getting ready to go into the new year, and hasn't it been great? But there's more to it. And when he said that, it popped into my spirit. It was thrive. Survive. Thrive. Yes, there is more to than just surviving. So I began to reflect upon this, and it rose up, and surviving is good, but I want to thrive with the things of God in my life. How about you? This thing that's in us, this thing that God has put within us, He's doing with us. It was good in 2018. I feel pretty confident and okay with how 2018 came through. Yes, there could have been better things, and I could have done things. It's not that I was perfect, but overall, as I look back, you know, God was there. Amen. But I began to look, and it's like, what is this 2019? What is this next year? What is this next day? What about tomorrow? Do I want to just survive today and survive Monday and survive Tuesday? Or do I want to look at those days and have a pre-thought or a preset within me to say, not just to survive them, but I want to thrive in them? So it's not just for the year. It's really daily if I can thrive with the things of God. Now, to look at survive, it's not a bad word. It's to remain alive or in existence, to live on. That's a definition of survive. To continue to function or prosper, not bad, right? Despite any of the situations or circumstances that you're currently in. And we all go through situations and circumstances. Amen? Everybody here, they're all different from one another. Some are going through more major circumstances than others, but to you, your circumstance is your circumstance. But yet you survive them. Some other words that are similar to survive would be that of withstand, endure, hang on. I know sometimes we feel like we're hanging on either by our toes or by our necks sometimes. To continue and to stand. So survive, withstand, endure, hang on, continue. All good things. If you were able to do that this past year, congratulations, you survived. And then when I get into the word of thrive. Now thrive, the definition of that is to grow vigorously. To grow vigorously. Well, boy, that conjures up a whole new thought in your mind, doesn't it? To grow vigorously. Remember, I'm speaking of this in the sense of our spiritual walk, our walk with God. I endured, I stood, I did well, I survived all these things this past year, these past times with God. But now I want to look at this area, but God, would I be able to flourish? Would I be able to thrive? Would I grow vigorously in the things of you this year? And so as we look at this, to grow vigorously, flourish, to gain. Now, to thrive, and this is in the secular type definitions of things, but to gain in wealth or our possessions. I will say this, that God will prosper you, and God will gain, and you will gain riches in the things of Him. Necessarily, will they be all of the worldly wealth and goods? Some of it might be, you know. You got a house, you got a home, you got a job, you got all these things. You're, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the possessions and the things that you have are there. But this isn't a prosperity message today. I don't want you just to thrive so that you can gain possessions or wealth. Oh, unless it's in that of the spiritual walk. I want you to gain wealth and possessions in that spiritual side of what God has for you, as well as what He has for me. I would hope that we all begin to look at this a little bit more rather than I'm going to survive 2019 to where I want to thrive. I want to grow vigorously in the things of God and what God has for me. To prosper, it would say, and thrive. To progress toward or realize a goal despite or because of circumstances. Survive is to prosper despite the situation or circumstances that you're in. You're going to survive it. Thrive is to prosper or realize a goal despite or because of circumstances. Other words that we could use in place of thrive would be to prevail, to triumph, to win. And these are the things that over the next few weeks I hope to open up a little bit more in to where in God's Word it shows those things for us. To prevail, to triumph, to win. Now I didn't put the negative in there, but the opposite of survive is to stop. To cease. To succumb to whatever the situation is. To perish, to fade. This past year, if you weren't surviving or if you did not survive this past year, did by chance you stop or cease with the things of God? Did you get to that point to where you thought, well, it's gotten so bad, nothing's changed, and it's the same old, God, are you really God? Has it interfered with that walk? Thrive, the opposite of thrive, is to flounder, to struggle, to fail. Have we this past year not succeeded with God? Didn't even thrive with Him. We floundered, we failed, we struggled. And I'm not to say that in our walk with God that we won't have struggles. You know you'll have struggles, right? Is anybody here not clear that there will be a struggle in your life this year? There will be trials. There will be temptations. It's not going to be a year of everything is just happy-go-lucky and everything's great and God's going to bless me and I can't wait for the year to come and I can't wait till June, July, August. It's all going to be great. Every month's going to be blessings. No, there will be some rough times out there. So I'm not going to build you up to say, this year is going to be a survival and thriving and everything's going to be good. But I will say this, that it's through those times, like God's Word says, it's through those times of testings and trials that we really see the hand of God in our lives. Because if you didn't have Him in your life, how would you really handle those tests of trials and situations? Many things that even this past year that you've come through, if it wasn't for God, you may be the floor of some mental hospital somewhere because it just drove you crazy, right? So God was there even in the times of despair, even in the times of trials, even in the times of the darkness. Think back, yourself personally this year, into the darkest time of the year that you had. And I'm going to tell you, God was still there. Do you agree? I hope so. It's hard. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's, oh, well, just, yeah, Pastor, maybe you didn't experience what I was, and my darkness was darker than yours. And no, I realize I didn't experience what you experienced, but I know that everyone in here has had a dark day this past year. Dark week. Maybe several weeks. I don't know, but God knows, and you know. But I want to tell you that God was still there with you. You may not have felt Him. You may not have sensed Him, but we're not to go by feelings, are we? Feelings are a funny thing. Feelings only feel when you feel. You know? When it's a tangible thing sometimes. But it's to by faith that we are able to know that even the struggle that I had, I survived, and God, You were there, and You brought me through it. And I'm going to plant the flag on 2018 that I survived it. That I endured it. That I withstood it. That I hung on. Only by the grace of God. But I hung on. How about you? I was at the edge, I was on the cliff, I was on the ledge, but I hung on. Because there is something there that I have with You, God, that I can't explain, and I can't explain it to others around me, but I know that I'm held close to Your bosom. I know that you're there, your arms are there, you've wrapped yourself around me. We used to do a song or a hymn, or not a hymn, a chorus. Wrapped in God's love or something like that, and wrapping his arms around us. And he does that. So there's nothing wrong with surviving. That is better than the opposite. So now I come up with survive and thrive. What's the next one? The opposite of those two would be to perish. So looking at survive and thrive, this word comes to my mind when I'm thinking about these things. Die. And remember, I'm not talking a physical death. I'm talking in the spiritual realm, things of God. I died with things of God. I disconnected myself from him. I broke loose from the vine. I withered. I died. Nothing wrong with surviving. That's better than the opposite, that of perishing. Looking at survive and thrive, die comes into my thoughts. Now again, spiritual walk. With God and serving God to our fullest and to accomplish all that he has for us each year, each day, and every week, we've got to continue on and move with those areas of survive and thrive. So to die is this, to pass from physical life, not what I'm discussing here, but it's to pass out of existence, to disappear, to subside gradually. How many times in our walk with God do we gradually lose sight of him? He didn't lose sight of us, but we lose sight of him because we're going through a traumatic time in a particular area of our life, or a situation in our job, our family, our finances, you name it, our nation, whatever it is. You begin, you know, even the things that take place in our nation sometimes, if you're not strong in God, you would almost take yourself and say, I'm getting out of here. You know, I'm just, God, you. It says you put people in power. These people up there on the hill are flakes. They're yours, but I don't understand it, you know. I'm out of here. I gradually remove myself from the hand of God. I disappear from what he's about. I do something else with my life. I go back maybe to my old nature, which was BC, before Christ. And I begin to get into that life that I had that was not good. But for some reason, I think it's better than what I've got now because I'm gradually and slowly slipping away from the things of God. I'm dying. My relationship with God is dying. And I've got to get it back. How about you? Maybe that's where we're at in some of our days and some of our times. To pass out of existence, to disappear, to subside gradually, to be overwhelmed by emotion, die. To be overwhelmed with emotion. It'll come on you guys. We're all emotionally charged, aren't we? Emotions. You can think you're the strongest person around, but come into a situation that just, you know, kind of cleans your clock a little bit, or makes you have some really searchings of things, or whatever the case might be, and all of a sudden you become an emotional basket case. Overwhelmed by my emotions. I become indifferent. When I become indifferent, that means it doesn't matter one way or the other, doesn't it? It's like, well, I don't care what goes on. It's been like that, it's going to be like that, going to continue on like that. Oh well, who cares? Oh, I should pray for this, pray for that, pray for... I've been praying for the last 10 years, nothing's happened, it keeps getting worse. I'm just going to give up on prayer. That's the most ridiculous thing. Why should I pray and I don't see an answer to my prayers? This is foolish. I can take my 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 2 hours, whatever the case is that I use for prayer, and I can go do something else that I think is more prevalent, more advantageous. So we become indifferent with things. And we don't get charged up like we used to. We don't get on fire like we used to for the things of God because We've changed from the survival and the survival mode. Forget thrive. You're not going to thrive. Once you get out of the survival mode, then you're going to die in those things of spiritual things, because gradually it comes upon you. The enemy knows what he is doing. Amen? The enemy knows what he is doing. He knows what it's going to take to trip you up. And he will do everything in his power to keep reoccurring it. You may not have fallen that time. You may not have fallen this time. You may not have fallen the 12th time. But do you think the devil's not going to come back for the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th time to try to trip you up in the things of your weakness or the situations of your life that you're going through, that he can't put a little doubt in you by saying, where is this God that you pray to for all of these days, years, could be decades? Where is he? Oh, man or woman of God. Don't you sometimes think the old devil sits there and just kind of, oh, man and woman of God, where is he? Where is this so-called God? Well, if you're built up in him and you have the Holy Spirit in you, you will tell that devil right where to go back to. Amen? And you will laugh into his face and say that I serve a much bigger God than anything that exists in this life or anything that exists after or before this life. I serve a God that created everything. He even created you, devil. Kicked you out, but he created you. So we get to that point there to where we could, you know, begin to have an indifference, and that wears on us. But don't die in the things of the Spirit. Survive and thrive. Here again, let's look at the opposite of this die. To die, opposite would be to revive. We've got to revive ourselves now and then, don't we? We've got to revive ourselves to pick yourself back up and keep going. Amen? Revive. Revive us, O Lord. There's a hymn out there like that. Thank you, honey, for all of a sudden I saw your head. Revive us, O Lord. Da 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 da. Huh? Yes. Thine, hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. He's a God of revival. He's a God that he wants to revive you. He's a God that says, don't stay where you're at, Tim. Let me revive you. Ask me. Come to me. That kind of goes back to maybe what last week talked about, to be filled and continually filled with the Holy Spirit, because that is where our strength comes from. That's where our contact with God comes from, is the Holy Spirit. Revive me, O Lord. Fill me up with your Spirit. I can't make it any longer. I'm frailing and failing. Oh, that could be one of those spiritual hymnal things, that spiritual songs that comes out of a person. Last week we spoke about those three areas. Speak to God in a psalm, in a hymn, or through a personal thing in the Spirit that you just break open in a song to God. When you do those things, it's awesome. Revive, opposite of die, is to exist, to flourish, to prosper, to thrive. It's interesting, and all these words start playing off of each other. You know, when God just throws something at you into your spirit, it's like, okay. I was telling my wife, I said, all this week, I've just kind of been meditating on it, reading some scriptures and things on thrive. And thrive is not always in every translation. It could be, you know, what do we talk about? Thrive, you know, if you look up in the areas of prevail, triumph, those things would be in the scriptures. Those things might be in the King James. But when I see triumph or prevail, that's telling me to thrive. And so this past week, it's just been just kind of here and there, you know. I'm not doing this, that, or the other. I'm just thinking, okay, Lord, survive, thrive, die, da, 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 da. And I kind of go through and, I don't know, formulating a thought in my mind and some thoughts of this, that, or the other. So now we get into this. What is the difference between surviving and thriving? The difference between these mindsets are relatively straightforward. Surviving is doing what is necessary to live. Surviving in the things of God are doing, you know, the necessary things to stay with Him, to be strong with Him, to do what He's asked, to be in His fellowship, to be where He's at, and nothing wrong with that, remember? Thriving is not just being satisfied with surviving, but it's reaching above this to make a continual progress. A thriving mindset is defined by continually challenging one's self. You challenge yourself with the things of God. God has given you a mandate. He's given you a direction for your life. You're not going to maybe be a pastor. You're not going to be a missionary. But His Word says that we are all missionaries. We're all ministers of the gospel. We all come into contact with people that are lost and dying. We come into contact daily with people that don't have the light that we have. They walk in continued darkness. They walk in doom and gloom. But not for us. We are walking above that situation if we're doing it all right. Amen? Because remember, I'm surviving. And now I'm going to thrive with these things. Thriving is being not just satisfied with surviving, but reaching above this to continual progress. And this comes to mind. I didn't write it down, but refers to continually to have the mind of Christ, to perfect yourself, you know, with the things of God. And perfecting of yourself is maturing of yourself. God has put these things within us to grow us. Amen? Are you satisfied with just being saved? Are you satisfied with just knowing, great, when I die, I get to go to heaven? That's kind of like, okay, I like it. Sounds good to me. Nothing wrong with that. Are you to the point to where I want to progress with these things that God has? I need these things to progress. I need to progress these things in my life, because after a while, you will find within your own spirit that if you've got the spirit mentality to say, I'm well and good, I've got Christ as my Lord and Savior, I know where I'm going to go when I die, you will still possibly have a not so fulfilled life here on earth. Amen? Whatever that means. You just go through the motions. Every day is good. When I die, I'm going to heaven. Can't be wrong. It's going to be great. Got a mansion waiting for me up there, you know. But as I mature further along with God, as I desire to progress further along, as I want to thrive and remember to be able to flourish or grow vigorously with the things of God, that's just going to put me at another level. Another level, and another level with God for the things that He has for my life. Now, the things that He has for my life, the things that He has for your life, they may make you look good, but in all respects, they're to glorify who? God. We just get sometimes the collateral blessing of like, wow, you really are a great person, you know? Well, not really. It's only what who is in me. And all the glory goes to my Heavenly Father. Just like what Jesus said. I glorify my Father in heaven. That's what it's all about as we're here, is to glorify our Heavenly Father. Well, you're not going to glorify Him much that if you just receive the initial stamp of salvation and then you just go on with ho-hum life, you're not going to really produce and come to the completeness or the fullness, I believe, that God has for you. Do you think that will happen? No. Why is that? Because there's more that God has for us. It's good. It's well. For God so loved that he sent his son to die. But there's more than that. Now, so remember, what's the difference between surviving and thriving? I want to try to get myself, or we're heading eventually, we're going to get into the beginning of the starts of this, through that of the Old Testament, to kind of begin to show some of this out, I hope. But before we get there, what also comes to my mind and kind of, you know, helps me think along these lines is periodically, and a few times now, I have seen a particular show, a movie. It was taken off of real events that takes place over in the Middle East, where a Navy SEAL team goes in to scout out a village to look at who the people that are there, if there's any of the Taliban or the bad people. And so they're sitting on this hill and they're looking into this village with high optical things to look at and taking pictures of these people saying, oh, this is him, this is him, this, oh yeah, you know, this is a village, but it's a village that's filled with, you know, the army of, or the bad guys of this group. And so they've got this, but they can't make contact back to headquarters because of the terrain. It's a very mountainous thing. And then they get caught by three Middle Eastern guys that were walking with their goats up in these hills. They just came across them, and now they got three of these people. What are they going to do with them? Has anybody ever seen the movie Lone Survivor? It's kind of graphic in some respects of gore, but it's taken off of a true event where these Navy SEALs were dropped. Four of them dropped up in this area, and only one made it back. Because they were going to take out these three people of the country because their mission was compromised. But one of them says, we can't. They're not military. You know, they're not combatants. That's against the law. They'll throw us in jail. Blah, 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 blah. So anyway, they release them, and they run down to the village. They tell the enemy, hey, there's four military men from the United States up in those hills. Well, the whole entourage of these bad guys go after them. They chase them and chase them. They get to a scene to where they come to an edge of a cliff. And there's only one way to go. All the enemies coming this way with, you know, rocket fire and guns and all that. And all they could do is jump down this cliff. And it shows it going down this hill, hitting rocks, hitting trees. Well, needless to say, by the time they get to the very bottom, they're beat up, bloody, just facial. One guy had a bone in his thing was out. He had to push it back in eventually. But that's where it gets kind of graphic. But that's where they were doing all they could to survive. They jumped off of a cliff because it was better to take that than stand here and try to fight, because they're going to be overrun eventually. With there's only four of them, and there's probably 30 or so of these enemy. So after they get down to the bottom, after they all hit, eventually they're taken out until just one. And he survives. But as I watched that, you know, that's survival. You know, surviving was good for him, because the other three died, but he survived. He did all he could to survive. He hid himself, he took care of himself, he camouflaged, you know, concealed, and then he finally, after he felt a day or so went by, he started trying to walk his way out and found some water and was in his water and freshening himself, and then it goes on from there. But that's survival. He survived that. But I'm going to tell you, when you looked at the guy, he was beat up. Bloody face, broken bones, just all over. And I thought of that, and I thought, wow. So that's, yeah, he survived. That's good. And then I was thinking about our Christian walk. Surviving, that's good. But I wonder how many, some of us come out of that just sometimes feeling like you've been beaten up, you know? Bloodied, scarred, got a broken bone, you're whatever, you know, you got to set your bones back in you, or whatever the case might be. But you survived to live another day, to become an ability to maybe thrive, you know, in this next days or times out. So it comes down to, what is the mindset that we have for our future? What will God, or what will what God has for us be left on the vine to die, or will we gather it up and make use of it for what he has intended for us? Will we be happy to just survive another year and to remember that surviving is better than the alternative of dying? I know I don't want to lose what I already have with God. I want to keep that. How about you? All that I have gained with God, I want to hold on to. I don't want the enemy to take it from me. I don't want to go through, you know, I get to that point of frustration and all and say, well, here, I'm just turning it all loose. I don't even want any more of it. No, because I tell you what, some of the things that you have gained from God the past year, 2 years, 3 years, you name it, you fought for it, amen? You went through some skirmishes. You went through some battles. You went through some situations in your life that it had not been for God, you would have been, remember I said, in that mental institution somewhere. But you've gained strength. You've gained God's understanding. You understand God a little more. Maybe not as much as you need to because, you know, you still have doubts, questions, wondering why, how come, whatever. But you survived, and it's like it got me through it, and that's good. But I don't want to leave it out there. I'm going to hold on to it. I don't want to lose it. But what about that greater thing that God has or that he has for us? This came to my thoughts when I typed this out last night about the table. I said, what are the greater things of God that I may leave on the table because I did not stand a little longer? I didn't pursue a little further. I didn't trust God enough. My faith wavered. I gave up on the best and I settled for what I already had, which was good, right? Good. But I settled for that. Looking in the Old Testament, what a place to look, huh? Wow. We find the Israelites confronted with a choice. Surviving or to thrive? Where were they surviving at? The wilderness. Where did they thrive? Canaan. What did it take to get them from that wilderness to Canaan? Should have been 11 days. Try 4 decades. 40 years. 40 years! Wow. The miracle of the manna was never meant to be permanent. It sustained them on their way to their destiny. The trip could have been accomplished in about 11 days, but because of their mindset, it took longer. They were ungrateful. They were idolatrous. They were complaining. They were whining. They were fearful. We find out that all the adults and the men that left that, Egypt, they didn't make it into the promised land. They weren't able to make it there. It was their children. They had to actually, because of all that, it's like, you know, we can get into scriptures and all that you can read up there, but it's like, God, you know, Moses and everyone's talking to, well, God, what are they going to say if you take them out here in the desert and you kill them? They're going to say, what kind of God are you? So he probably, well, then he goes, well, we just let them traverse this for some time until all the adults that are complaining and whining, they die off, and we're going to take the young ones into Canaan because it was fulfilling the promise that God did make. But those that were there currently, they weren't going to make it because of their attitudes, because of their idolatrous, because of what they were doing and ungrateful and just complaining. And yeah, my goodness, guys, I don't know we'll ever get there. I got scriptures this morning I wrote down over here that we could go into about Israel's deliverance, how it was spoken about, how God provided. You know, he provided manna. He provided water. Amen. He brought even a dove for food. He sustained them, didn't he? It wasn't to be a full-time thing. It wasn't to be their whole life. God's going to continue to hand this out. Here, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. God's plan was he had a place that was rich, flowing in milk and honey, had an abundance of things. The land was ready to go. It was good land. And when he wanted to get them over there, once they got there, I'm jumping way ahead of my notes here now. But when they got there, all the manna stopped. All of the things that God sustained them with, they were in the wilderness. God is saying, now, my kids, you're in this land of milk and honey and what I promised your fathers and forefathers. Now go out and make good of it and use it. And it's up for you now to take care of this. Well, there's a teaching in that. The manna was never meant to be permanent. It was to sustain them on their way to their destiny. The trip could have been accomplished in about 11 days, but because there's mindset, it took longer. We find that now Canaan is kind of like close by, roughly located by where that of Israel is today. So once in the land of the promise, the manna stopped. As each tribe occupied their assigned territories, they had to become farmers, herders, developers, producers. Why is that? Because God was moving them from surviving to what? Thriving. Let us sink in. The wilderness, they were surviving, and God was helping them survive. He provided. This past year, maybe it was your wilderness. I don't know, just a time with God. I forget the time of just calling it a wilderness. It was just your time with God. But he was preparing you maybe for this year to go into the year of thriving. And in 2019, as we get to 2020 and we look back and you go, well, I survived 2019, I will still say, good going. Amen? It's not to look down on surviving. It's not a bad thing to survive. Remember that movie? Out of four, three died, one survived because whatever it was, just he survived to tell the story. So he took them from surviving to thriving, from basic provision to a life of productivity. The promised land was more than a place of provision. It was a place of production. It was, like I said earlier, it was steeped in everything. The soil was rich. The plantings were great. You know, we're going to, we'll at least have a little scripture here I hope to read here in just a minute. It talks in Joshua 5 as they come out of that. It talks, now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched or roasted grain on that very same day. Joshua 5, 10 and 12. And then the manna ceased on that day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. The promise that God had for them, once he got them into that land, fulfilled itself, didn't it? He didn't leave them high and dry. You know, it fulfilled what God had said he would do to the ancestors of them and how he was going to take care of them. So, while still in the wilderness of their lives, God did show them what the promised land held for them. He spoke to Moses in Numbers 13. Numbers 13, verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness, according to the command of the Lord. All of them were heads of the children of Israel. All of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. So the head person of each tribe. And how many were there? 12. 12. I don't have two more. I had two toes raised. We want to get into that area too. Oh, I don't know where I'm going to gyrate here. Well, I'm going to take a side here. We got just about 10 minutes here. Just go back to Exodus. Exodus 5. Oh, there it is. Exodus 5. Go down to 22. We're just going to pick up where... So Moses returns to the Lord, and he says, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, neither have you delivered your people at all. In Exodus 6. And then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. And God spoke to Moses, and he said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob as God Almighty, but my name, Lord, was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan and the land of their pilgrimage in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. 6:7, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. And so Moses spoke this to the people, and they did not heed him because of the anguish of the spirit and cruel bondage. But that's where it kind of gets its start. Israel's deliverance is spoken of there. God was going to take them out of where they were at, bondage and under subversiveness or whatever, and he was taking them into a land that he had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So now remember, as they are out in this wilderness for 4 decades, he took care of them, didn't he? Now, just kind of bouncing around, just kind of getting, and you guys all know this, but it's fun to read the scriptures, isn't it? Just to read it again and let it sink in. So he's got them out there. They're in the wilderness. Now I find in Deuteronomy in 29, you don't have to turn there if you like. I'll just read this quick. It's 5 verses. 29:1, these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he had made with them in Horeb. Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, you have seen all that the Lord said before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. Moses called all Israel, and he's reminding them, hey, you have seen all that the Lord has done before your eyes in the land of Egypt and to Pharaoh, to the servants, the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. Verse 4, yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. And I have led you for 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not what? Wore out. Your clothes have not wore out. Or your clothes have not wore out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. It's just here again. God's providing. God's provision. The manna, the water, the dove or the pigeon or whatever, the doves, the clothing, the shoes. Could you imagine? How many here have had the same pair of shoes and the same clothes for 40 years, wearing them day in and day out? Are you still have them? Where are they at? The scrap bin, you know? Dust rags. Now they're not even around. They're thrown out. But see, this is to help us understand. Through God's Word and what He speaks to us even in the New Testament, and as we look at areas of prevailing and enduring the things with God, that God will sustain you. Amen? I wish I had that song top of my head, but there's a song out there about that too. God will sustain you, he will. You're shaking your head again. Thank you, honey. I don't know what song it is. It's a chorus or something. It's not a hymn, but it's a chorus. But it's true. God will sustain you. The things that he has put in your heart to do, oh, you survived last year, but the things he's put in your heart for this next year, or the year we're in here now, is that things that he has told you that he will do, do you believe that he will do? You know, as he's the power and the abilities, and now, the thing is that he has his will. There's a lot of things that are falling into some of these situations in our lives today, but I can pretty well say, no matter what, that if God has showed me this and has instructed me on this, then I can pretty well have confidence that he will sustain me, he will help me, he will keep me clothed, he will keep me fed, he will keep me watered, he will, and all that is telling me, not necessarily in the realness of that, or the actual of that, but it's in my spirit. He will take care of me, he will nurture me, he will strengthen me. And there's probably a good chance that I will see by my eyes some things that astound me, and that I can only say, oh, if it not was God, I don't know how that happened. God could have only have brought those circumstances together. Only God could have opened that door. Only God could have closed that door. Only God, only God. Amen. That's exciting. So just like the children of Israel, just as he promised them, we're all seeds. I'm of the seed of Abraham, and his seed remains in me. I'm of the seed of Abraham. I'm not moved by what I see. Jesus was made a surety, and that's what I believe. I'm the seed of Abraham. His seed remains in me. You people out there are victorious people. You're victorious. It doesn't matter what comes your way this year, you're victorious. I hope you believe it. Pull you up by the seat of your pants. Raise you up by your collar. Do something, but you will be victorious. God is not going to leave you. Amen. The only one that's going to leave the equation is you leaving God. You, by what? Disappearing. To subside gradually. You know, to be overwhelmed emotionally. That'll possibly take you away from the things of God. May not. May drive you closer to it. I think that's sometimes the things that confounds the devil. Don't you? When he sees things that maybe he's placed upon us, or, you know, as God released and said, you know, they're my people. You know, you can do everything to them, but don't kill them like Job, you know. But they're my people. And I hope to see, and I hope that we can show the devil that, you know, if this comes on me, I'm just going to shout a higher praise to my God. Hallelujah. I don't understand it. I can't grasp it. But the only thing that I know that I can grasp, and then the only thing that I know that I can see by that of faith, and the faith of eyes, the eyes of faith that God has helped me with, that he has helped tune it up into my system, is that I can still trust my God even when all hell is coming against me. And I'm not going to say, bring it on, devil. I'm not that stupid. I would rather him not, because I still want to praise my God in the good times as well. I want my praises and my shouts to God to be as loud when everything is going good as in when everything maybe be falling apart. I don't want God to know a difference that, oh, Tim, you're not praising me quite as loud. What's going on? You got some problems you're facing, and you have doubts that I'm going to be there to help you? What's going on, Tim? Hopefully I'm shouting and praising my God and standing with him when all else is falling apart. That I can know that I know that I know that he's standing me up. That I'm undergirded by him. Oh, my flesh, I want to run. My flesh, I want to faint. My flesh, I want to get out of there. I don't even want to do it. But my God will sustain me. My God will undergird me. My God says that I will not leave you, Tim, nor forsake you. But I've done this, I've done that, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, da 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 da. Go back to the children of Israel and the people and how they idolatry and fighting and complaining and whining, and somehow God with his mercy, you know, he kept them going. Because he did what? He had a covenant, a promise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And nothing is going to break that promise with them or for his generations after that, and we're engrafted into that by the blood of Jesus. Amen. By his blood, we've been engrafted into that lineage. And now we are just like that as far as stature or whatever we want to call ourselves. And so that promise that he has for them and had for them back then is a promise that fulfills itself even with us. Amen. Pretty exciting. Well, okay. We didn't get to all the scriptures because we'll get maybe to the spies. And then, you know what? Here's the crazy thing. They get to the promised land, and then guess what? They refuse to go in. Go figure that out. 40 years. Oh, we're just out here to die. Oh, we're just not going to be. Oh, well, here's your land of promise. I'm not going in there because the giants. Because out of 12 spies that go over there, two had a very positive report, Joshua and Caleb. We can do it. The Lord is with us. We're going to take it. The other 10, oh, woe is me. They're big. Oh, they're monsters. Oh, boy, we can't do it. Oh, there's the land of promise, the land of prosperity, the land that had everything that's going to sustain them, the good land. Yeah, it had some obstacles. This next year, you got some good land you're about ready to enter into. It's going to have some obstacles. But don't be foolish like some of these Israelites and go, I'm not going to go. Fine. And don't be like those 10 that came back with a negative report, because it wasn't long after that they died of a plague. And God said, well, we'll get rid of that. I don't want negativity. But those 10 were going to spoil it for all. And these two, Joshua and Caleb, man, they were just gung-ho. Let's go. And they tried to remind the people, God has promised this. God has said this. They're there. It's there. But anyway, we kind of know the story, but again, when you reflect upon it and you read it again, Numbers 14:1 is where we'll try to get to next week as well. But that's where, you know, they refuse to go in. Are you refusing to go into this next year with God because you see some giants? Are you refusing to go into this next year or this next season with God because your mind is thinking back to here of what you had just gone through, and you're saying, oh no, I got too much. It's just not going to work. It's not possible. I would hope and pray that whatever is there that maybe caused you some situations has done nothing more than to push you that way. Let adversity, if nothing else, push you into the direction of God. Amen? Don't let that adversity push you away to subside, to grow weary in your walk. Let that what did I just call that? Rewind the tape and play it back real quick. No. Frustration, I don't know, is that what it was? No, adversity. Thank you, Linda. Don't let that adversity push you away from God. I pray, Lord, that any adversity that comes, I'm going to walk. I can only go one way. That's to God. I can only go one way, and that's to see what my God has for me tomorrow. And your tomorrows turn into the next week and the next week. And I know what, and you know what, because we know what happens. We're going to come through this year again, and we're going to be celebrating 2019 before you know it. We're going to look back, and I pray, And my prayer for this church, my prayer for you as I remember you throughout my times of prayer and thinking of you, is that, Lord, I pray thriving on their lives. I pray for them to thrive, thrive, thrive. Enough of surviving. We ain't going to die. We're going to thrive. Well, okay. Well, I'm glad you're excited. So as we wrap this up, okay. So what's happened at this point with Israelites is that they lost their perspective. The people were caught up in the emotions of the moment. Anybody get caught up in the emotions of the moment here? What? I just thought that happened in the Bible. What? Really? Yeah. We do. I get caught up in the moments of the emotions. Yeah. Forgetting what they knew about God. Here's this. Don't forget what you know about God's character. Don't forget what you know about God's character, as well as his abilities to meet the need at hand. Part at the Red Sea. I mean, we don't have time. It's after 12 now. We got to cut this off. But to just begin to go into these times of how God showed and how God did and how God prevailed and how God, the character of him and his abilities, they're with you today. Can you say amen? Has situations in your life made you lose sight of the hand of God? Well, if so, I hope in the next few weeks that we will stir it back up and that we'll have that outlook where we need to be. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So remember, surviving is good. Thriving is better. Amen? Amen.